Once again, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the house of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of places that we could be this morning, isn't there? Okay? There are a lot of people we could be seeing, places we could be visiting. But you know, God's word says that we have to gather, okay, among those of like precious faith. And I thank you for coming. I trust this morning you have not come to hear me, but you've come to hear from the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. For the past few nights that I've been here, we've had a theme song, Shine Jesus Shine. We've also had a theme pledge. I call it a pledge to the Bible. Could we do that now, please? Let's all recite that. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, verse 11 and 105. Do you really believe that? We've been saying this for the past few nights, and I trust it becomes, they say if you do something about 27 times in a row, it becomes a habit. See? And so I wonder if this is going to become a habit in your life. Will it become a way of life for you as God's children? The purpose of the message each night, I've given us a purpose. I feel there needs to be a purpose. Otherwise, it's just all fluff. And it means nothing and it goes nowhere. Okay? Purpose of today's message is to decide what our role is. Okay? Now, this message is going to be directed to all of us, but primarily to us as parents. Okay? Now, that would, I think, take in most of us. I don't know you all real well, but I believe we here this morning are either parents, or we are grandparents, or we are uncles or aunts, or somehow we are related to children. So, this morning we want to look at what is our role as an adult? What is our role as a child of God? What is our purpose in raising children? Today I have a kindred spirit with you. By that I'm saying, not only am I God allowed me to be a husband, He's allowed me to be a father, and He's allowed me to be a grandparent. Okay, we just for you that don't know, we have our oldest daughter has two foster children, so the foster system is part of our life as well as some of you as well. As men like never before, the title, I almost forgot that. I'll give you a title, a text, a topic, and a time for you all to respond. The title of the message is Dad's Sacred Duty. Dad's Sacred Duty. And what is that? What is your sacred duty today, fathers? As men like never before, we have demanded a great and mighty task. We are here as men today, as fathers today, for a purpose. For us to stand up and to do our duty. Now, I ask you, what duty is it? The duty of being not only a leader, but a truly and dedicated and devoted man to God. God is calling us men to step up to the plate and be the spiritual leaders that we are called to be. Brothers, the strength of the church is only as strong as the strength of the home. When men fail to fulfill their responsibilities in the home comes crashing down, affecting the church and affecting the nation. Men are called to provide substance, to provide stability, to provide spiritual leadership in the home. Man, that, I can sit down now because that's a sacred duty. Through the years, much of the responsibility of having the right kind of home has been placed on the mother, hasn't it? But the Bible puts that responsibility on the father. It's dad's responsibility to set the moral and spiritual example for the home, to see to it that the word of God is honored and respected, to lead in matters of discipline, to make sure children are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To make sure that attending church is a priority when you could be other places. This greatly increases their chances of being born again just as soon as they reach the age of accountability. Now, I don't want to belittle this, but thank God. Thank God for Christian mothers. Some of which have many of the responsibilities of raising the children fall on them. But remember, once again, it is Dad who will answer to God for it. Once again, it was Joshua who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. You see, he knew what it meant to be a leader. Not only in the church, but in his home as well. I said this the other night, both these statements, but I'll say it again. Think of it this way, you know, Eve is the one, way back in the beginning, Eve is the one who took that fruit, she ate of it, and she gave it to man. Woman gave it to man. So you'll say, who sinned first? Who had the greater sin? I ask you, who will God hold more accountable? Once again, remember, Eve may have sinned. She may have took the forbidden fruit, but it was man who God came looking for. Adam, where art thou? We live in a day in which it's very difficult to be a good man, isn't it? It's even more difficult to be a good husband, isn't it? Look around. But it's most difficult to be a good dad. Because dads, sometimes raising children can be difficult. Sometimes raising children can be hard. Face it, admit it. You know, you all can say amen because I know I've been there. Raising children can be difficult, fathers. Can be hard. Can be the pressure, the stress can be almost more than probably we want to bear at times. And sometimes we say, you know, I can't do it anymore. And fathers are saying that today, and they are walking out. They are leaving mom and the children to fend for themselves. But raising a family, raising children can be difficult. For example, one day a young couple has taken their 2-year-old daughter to the mall. And they were walking up and down the mall, and the little girl says, "You know, Daddy, I'm getting tired. Will you carry me?" So he says, "Sure, sweetheart." So he picks his daughter up and he sets her on his shoulders, and they begin walking. He holds on to her and they begin walking down the mall. Well, this continued for a while, and every once in a while, their 2-year-old daughter would continue. Now it'd be hard in my life, but continue to pick at his hair. Okay. And continued to pick at it, and first he was pretty religious about it. He says, "Sweetheart, would you stop?" And Evelyn kept walking a little further, and she continued to pick at his hair. And he says, "My dear, will you stop that?" She doesn't say anything, and she continues to pick at it. And he gets a little bit frustrated now. You know, the halo is gone now, boys and girls. Now we need to really come into discipline here. So he says to her, you know, he stops. He says, "Anne Marie Leindecker." So you know you're in trouble when Dad calls you by all three names. See? So you know you're in trouble. We don't have an Anne Marie Leindecker, but it sounds pretty good. I kind of like that. Anyway, he says, "Anne Marie Leindecker, will you stop doing that? If you don't stop doing that, I'm going to put you down, I'm going to take you to the car, and I'm going to spank you. Do you understand?" Silence. He says, "Anne Marie Leindecker, answer me. Do you understand?" She goes, yes, Daddy, but Daddy, what is the problem?" "But Daddy, I was only trying to get the bubble gum out of your hair." Raising children can be hard, can it? Can be a bit trying, can it? Can be a bit stressful, can it, at times? God has ordained 3 great institutions on this little bit of a pea that we live on called planet Earth. The home, the government, and the church. The oldest and the greatest of these is the institution of the home. I don't really think it's an institution, but the institution of the home. The church is a great institution, but it's only as great as its home. Our nation is great. I must inject this, although it's been greater in the past. But it's only great as this church is. Once again, the saying goes, as the home goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. Brothers and sisters, today we are involved in a war. The battleground is not in Iraq, it's not in Afghanistan. The battleground is in our very homes. Because it's in our homes, you see, is where we are real. You see, this morning you all look good. Okay? You all say nice words. And smell, I'm sure you all smell good. Okay? I took a shower, in case you're wondering. Okay? And we all really look really nice. And our hair is combed and all that. And everything's, the part is where it should be and all that kind of thing. Well, you know, but when we get home, children see who the real dad and mom really are, don't they? It's when I say, it's difficult, but it's when I say we let our hair down. Okay? And we become who we really are. Doesn't take children long to realize, whether they're this age or whether you're holding them on your laps, that if dad's really real and mom's really real, the same people that they are, they become church as when they get back home. Children are turning from the faith. And this is a fact that is nothing new. Children are walking away. I've always asked the question, it's even in my own family, I've asked the question is, how can the children raised by the same parents walk away from the Lord? Godly parents who raise their children, okay, I have a sister, a brother, and myself, and my sister is very godly, walks with the Lord every day. My brother is not. My brother, I will tell you, is 72 years old and believes in his heart and life and walk that he's 22. And lives that way. Okay? Sad commentary. And has hurt, dad and mom has gone to glory land, but has hurt them many, many years, many, many ways. Okay? Of the lifestyle that they chose. And we all have maybe some of the same family members that do the same thing. And I always ask, why? How can that happen? How can that happen? Every night I said that you should be bringing your scriptures, copy of scriptures with you. Hope you have them this morning. Turn to the book of Judges, if you will. Turn to the book of Judges. If you're looking, wondering Joshua, Judges, Ruth, if you're questioning where that might be found. Judges. We want to look at a very quick little account here and see how long this process takes of falling away. Judges chapter 2. Let me start with verse 7, Joshua 2, or Judges 2, verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the borders of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the Mount of Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, now that generation had come, lived, and died. And another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And I ask you, how long does this take? Centuries? Years? Right? Uno. One generation. One generation. All that Joshua had taught, had preached, and all of that had been ignored and lost in one generation. Verse 11. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Astaroths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He was not just a little bit concerned about the moral standards of the lifestyle of the Israelite people. He was hot. He was mad. So he delivered them into the hands of the plunderers, who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity. As the Lord had said, and as the Lord has sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. I bet they were. We'll stop there. I bet they were distressed. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Think about it, church. Okay? They were greatly concerned. They were greatly upset. You know, do you think they questioned, you know, why, Lord, are you doing this? The Lord's anger was hot against them. Once Joshua and his generation had passed away, the next generation, not 3, 4, 5 down the line, but the very next generation, turned their hearts towards God and worshipped small gods of the people around them. Do you think they were like in other places, crying out, we want to be like them? We're tired of worshiping this God that we can't see. We want to worship a God we can see, like the golden calf ordeal. You remember that story? We want to worship something that we can physically see and physically get our hands around. They turned their back on God and worshiped the gods of the people around them. I ask you, brothers and sisters, could that happen today? That was only back in the days of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, and all the judges, all that Old Testament stuff. It doesn't really apply to us today. Well, I'm telling you what, boys and girls, it does apply to us. It does apply to us in a very real way. Could that happen today? Yes, and it is happening. Look around. I can't speak a lot for South Carolina, but I can speak somewhat for New York State. Look around. And you say, where? Give me some examples. Okay, how about children today who are worshiping other gods? Like what? How about the god of television? How about the god of the internet? How about the god of cell phones, iPods, tablets? How about the god of fashion? Whew. Careful, brother. Careful. Slow down. How about the god of fashion? How about the god of convenience? How about the god of comfort? You see, we live in the United States of America where we want everything quick, don't we? Microwave everything. Okay? Get it in, get it out, and get on with it. Okay? Quick, fast. But yeah, in all of that, we want it to be comfortable. Okay? We don't want to be uncomfortable. Okay? I can remember the days back years ago, they still do today, when you came to church and you would not have these cushy little seats, people. No. You would sit on hard wooden chairs, benches. And by the way, with no backs. Yeah. And that still isn't that far away, really, in some circles. The god of fashion, the god of convenience, and the god of comfort. Okay, let's look at a few more that are really close to home, I think. At least in my life and my role. What about the god of drugs? Brothers and sisters, what about the god of alcohol? And what about the god of sex? What about those three? Things that affect a lot of us, no matter what state we live in. What about those three? And what about the god, and this is huge, men, what about the god of pornography? Could give you a whole message on that one. What about the god of pornography, brothers? What about that? What about the god of going along with that? What about the god of unfaithfulness? You know, I've not been to a wedding or not done a wedding where when I marry someone, they will say, well, you know, I plan on being unfaithful to my spouse. They pledge each other's lives, okay? They say the right words until death do us part. You know, we plan on sticking this out, they'd say. Then what happens only in a few weeks, months, years when they find themselves in a court of law filing for divorce papers. What has happened? What's happened to America? What happens to Christian people who choose to do that? Why is the divorce rate 2-1? Why is that? Why? Because people have chosen to be unfaithful to each other. Trust me, you don't want to be just another statistic. 1 John 2:16 says what? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. I don't know how to put it any simpler. Dad and moms, grandparents, uncles and aunts, yes, we are at a war. And yes, we are in the front lines. So the question then of the day is, are we going to be able to guide our children in the ways of the Lord? I don't care this morning, brothers and sisters, if you're holding them on your lap or if they're sitting up here. Okay? What age they are. I'm asking this morning, you know, are you going to be able to lead, guide, and direct your children in the ways of the Lord? Yes, they need to decide, but you need to guide. And I ask you, when does that guidance start? I don't know, these guys might be a little bit too old for that now, but you know, y'all are holding little ones in your laps, and you know, maybe when they, I don't know, give me a figure, when they are 5 and they begin school, that's time enough, I think. Or maybe, you know, they learn 90% of what they're going to learn by the age of 2, so maybe 2 is a place to start. What age, Dad and Mom, are you going to start training your children in the ways of the Lord? What age? I say it begins at conception. Now, depending on where I would say that and what crowd, I might be stoned. I understand that. But I think I'm safe here in saying that. I believe it begins at conception. I believe it begins maybe even before. I don't know, you know, but it's proven fact that children, as they grow in the womb, you know, hear and react, okay, to mom. Let me suggest to you this morning 3 ways that we can lead, guide, and direct our children in the way of the Lord. Point number 1, with our words. Now we all have, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. With our words. Our children are listening every day, brothers and sisters, daddy, moms, uncle and aunts. Our children are listening every day to what we are saying. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. I'll read it all to you. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. Where? They shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And they shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. When is there time that I, according to these verses, when is there time that I can take a break? That I don't need to teach them any longer? There isn't. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Brothers and sisters, if it's not in your heart, your words are useless. You need to talk to your children. You need to, you know, now it's easy when they're 2, isn't it? Now, when they get 12, it gets a bit more fuzzy, doesn't it? And when they get 22, they don't even want to listen anymore. That probably starts earlier than 22. You need to talk to your children. You need to be involved in their lives. And yes, the word that we often hear, and I had to put it in here, was you need to communicate with them. What does that mean? That means I talk and you listen. No. Communication is two-way. You know, husband and wives, It's hard to fight with only one fighting, right? It's hard to argue when you won't argue back, right? When you won't fight back. What fun is that, really? What fun is that? Communication, it goes a two-way street. Dads, you need to tell them about God. You need to tell them about the Scriptures, about the Bible. Be open and honest with them about who you are and what you believe and why you believe it. It's probably harder for dads than it is for moms to do this. But you need to admit to them, to your children, admit to them and tell them and be frank with them and be upfront with them and say to them, you know, I've made some mistakes. I've made some mistakes in life. You know, and my goal is to try and protect you so you don't make the same mistakes. And through those mistakes, I have learned, with the help of God, what it means to be a man of God. A study was done recently to determine the amount of interaction between fathers and their small children. Fathers were asked to estimate the time spent with their children communicating, okay, together. The average answer was about 15 to 20 minutes daily. But the study showed in reality, the average amount of time spent by these middle-class fathers with their small children was as low as 37 seconds a day. Their direct interaction was limited to 2.7 encounters daily, each lasting about 10 to 15 seconds. Now, from what I've read from Deuteronomy 6, can that be accomplished? Can that teaching, training, guiding, education, can that be accomplished, brothers and sisters, dad and moms? Can that be accomplished in 37 seconds? No, it can't. It's not rocket science here. No, it can't. So, my question is, how much time are you willing to dedicate and devote to the training of your children? Brothers and sisters, dad and moms, you know, you have, I'm sure, a wonderful school here. But don't plan on teachers doing it. You have great leadership here, a great church here, but don't plan on the leadership guiding, leading, directing your children totally. Okay? That is your, I can't put it in a similar, that is your responsibility. That is your God-given responsibility to do that. Point number two. Not only with our words, but with our time. Robert Schuller once said, and I quote, "I chose to fail so I could succeed." End of quote. You see, he loved golf and he was very good at it. But he loved being a father more. He gave up golf to succeed as a father. He knew very well many years ago that he could not devote adequate time to his job, to his hobby, and to his family. So what did he do? He gave up his hobby. Now I'm not saying, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that, friends, that hobbies are not good. My little sweetheart tells me time and time again, you know, you need a hobby, she says. And I said, well, you know, between 50 hours at work and 50 hours in the ministry, when would I have time to do it? See? If I even knew what it was. So I need a little clarity there, okay? We all need hobbies, but don't let the hobbies take priority over spending time with your children. Because once again, I'm telling you right now, and people told me this, you know, years ago too, you know, enjoy them when they're young. Because they're two now, you're going to turn around in bed and get up in the morning, they're going to be 12. You're going to turn over again, get up again, they're going to be 22 again. Or 22. Okay? You know, and I didn't believe that, but I can look at photo albums today. You know, we have three children, girl, boy, girl, and they're all in 20s, and I can look at those albums, and I say, you know, when was he ever five? When did she wear that cute little dress? You know, when did Ryan, our son, and I, when were we out there, you know, on the swing, and I was pushing him 8,000 times, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, walk two swings, back and forth, back and forth. Not really, but you know, when do we do those things? I don't, you know, I understand. I understand before you say, I understand getting older. I understand that. Okay, 58 years old, 58 years young, I like it. You know, but I understand getting older. And my children tell me that. And they say, you know, Dad, you're not getting Alzheimer's, you're getting Halfheimer's. See? Well, maybe they're right, but I have to look back and say, when were those days? I just say that to say they went so fast. They went so fast. Moms, they go fast. They go fast, don't they? And when they realize that now you're a grandparent. I know how new phase of life, isn't it? With our time. How are you doing, brothers and sisters? How are you doing with your time? How are you doing with it? We're only given, once again, having the sand in the hourglass thing. We've only got X number of days, minutes, hours. X number. What are you doing with that time that you have with your children? Dad, do you want to know what's important in your life? I pretty much guarantee you, and I've done this different places, won't do it here, but I pretty much guarantee you that within 3 to 5 minutes, and not even that long, 3 minutes, I can tell you, dads, I can tell you, moms, what's important in your life, where your priorities are. All I need to do is to have you show me your calendars. On your iPhone, on your refrigerators. At work, we use something called a Google Calendar, where we put my whole life as a written book in that calendar for everybody at work to see. And that's fine, you know, to a degree. But you know, everything is on there. If I go in your houses, you know, and look on your fridge, you know, with all the days and all the events that's going on your calendars on the wall, you know. I can tell you what's important. I wonder how much time is on there saying, you know, I'm going to spend time with Martha. I'm going to spend time with Carol. I'm going to spend time with Bob. My children. How many times do their name appear in your calendar of events, in your days of events, in your schedule? We'll be able to tell that pretty quick, by a quick glance at your calendars. We have the mindset that I've got to keep working and working and working and working and working. I have to be careful of that because I have that mindset as well. And I understand the scripture when it says, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, where it says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." But I wonder if sometimes if we go beyond what is necessary. Okay, now we're all busy. We're all busy. That schedule I gave you was only half my week. You know, we're all busy people. I know we are. Different areas, different lives, whatever. We're all different. Today is a gift that you give which you never get back. Time. You give money? Yeah, okay, I can earn more of it. I can give more of it away. We give gifts that cost money. Well, I can give more gifts. I can give more gifts. Okay, takes more money, takes more work to earn those gifts. I can give them away. But I ask you, is that really what your children want? Do your children really want stuff from you, or do they want you just to be there? Do they want your love? You see, a little girl one time drew a picture, and she goes into, see this, this her dad was a preacher man, and she goes into his study and she says, "Daddy, would you look at my picture? Would you look at my picture?" And Daddy says, no, sweetheart, not now, I'm busy. So she goes out. 10 minutes later, she comes back and she goes, "Daddy, can you look at my picture now? Daddy, I drew a picture for you. Would you look at it?" And he says, no, sweetheart, I'm still studying, I'm still busy, you know, later on. So she goes out, 10 minutes later, she comes back in and asks the same thing. He goes, "Sweetheart, listen, go out and play, and when I get done studying, I will come out. Don't come back in." So she doesn't. 2 hours go by, Dad leaves to study. He goes to the little girl. He goes, "Sweetheart, can I see that picture now?" "Sure, Daddy. Sure, sure." He looks at the picture. He notices the picture was a picture of her mother, her brother, and her, and their dog out in the lawn. Nice sunshiny day. They're all sitting in the grass having a picnic. He says, "Well, you know, sweetheart, that's a nice picture, but I got a question. I don't see me in the picture." And she says, "Well, no, Dad, see, you were too busy. You know, dads and moms, if your children were to draw a picture of your life, of your busyness, of your activities throughout the day, because they know what they are, would you be in that picture? No, Dad's off working. Dad's off plowing the fields, whatever. Dad's off whatever y'all do. Dad was working. See, he didn't have time. He didn't have time to swing with me in a swing. And you know it's going to come a point when she stops asking. And she'll ask somebody else to push her in a swing. Then you won't need to worry about her asking. Because she won't be there. One day she'll be her age and she won't want to swing anymore. Point number three. With your lives. Genesis 18:19 says, "Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him," Scripture says, "for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, and they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." The way you live your life will be a direct reflection on how your children will grow up. Not a doubt in my mind at all. You know, there's a song that says, "I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example of his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me." 2 Kings 14:3 speaks of the king of Israel, named Amaziah. It says, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In everything he followed the example of his father Joash." Question, dads, what kind of example are you setting for your children to follow? Your words may say one thing, but your actions may say another. They will tell exactly who you are. See, three little boys were in discussion one day of who their fathers knew. One boy said, "Well, my father knows the mayor." The other little boy says, "So what? My father knows the governor." Okay. The father of the third child was listening there to the conversation and the boys were having, and he wondered what his son would say now. Soon the third boy spoke up and said, "You know, so what? My dad knows God." My dad knows God, fathers. What would your children say about you? What would these young people say about you? You know, my dad knows God. You know, we teach, we train, we educate, we guide, and we direct. But at some point, young people, you all have to make a decision. As we all did. Am I going to follow in the footsteps of my parents and latch on to the teachings they have given me? Or am I going to reject it? Choices that you young people have to make. Men, let's stand up and be the men of God that we're called to be. Let's leave an example with our words, with our time, and with our lives, so that our children and our children's children and our children's children will grow up saying, "I want to be just like him." Nobody else. You know, there's a time in our lives when our children think that dad can do anything, isn't it? Dad's the best man. Dad's the only, you know, he's so strong and mighty. And you know, then they get to the point in the age where they don't think that anymore. Then they get a little older and they realize, yeah, Dad didn't know a lot. And how little I really knew. But I trust that at any age that the children are here, or young people are here, that they say, you know, regardless of what happens, I want to be beside Dad. I want to walk the same highway of holiness that he walked, that Dad and Mom walked, because they were good parents. Not perfect. They were good. They were godly parents. And I want to walk that same highway with them. You know, young people, this is the command for you, I guess, right now. You know, the devil wants you to fall off in a ditch, right? He don't care which side you fall. You know, as I've told people a lot of this there, this same story a lot of times. You know, as we're traveling down the King's Highway, as we're traveling down, the blacktop, the pavement. God wants us to keep it. As we travel down the highway of life, God wants us to keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise. Okay? You with me? Between the yellow and the white. Okay? Because if you don't, you're going to run off in a ditch. And you're going to choose to take drugs. You're going to choose to drink alcohol. You're going to choose to have premarital sex. It'll be a choice that you all make. Because you chose to get outside of the boundaries, outside of the yellow, of the mayonnaise and the mustard. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, folks. I do want to give you a chance as a congregation. I do want to give you a chance as dad and moms, as uncles and aunts, as grandparents, to respond to the word. Parents, let me ask you, first of all, are you willing to pay the price? This is going to take a lot of time, effort. Parents, do you want to see your children grow up to serve the Lord? That's the question. And if you do, what are you doing about it? Dad, are you willing to give up your agendas for the sake of the children? Moms, are you willing to take the time that's needed and give up of your agendas for the sake of your children? Questions we all need to answer. This is the actual invitation. Parents, grandparents, church family, are you willing to commit and dedicate these little children, regardless of their ages, to the Lord? And in so doing, you are saying that we are willing to do whatever it takes to lead, guide, and direct these children, regardless of their ages, towards heaven. Are you willing to do that? Because, you see, friends, the only thing you'll take to heaven with you are your children. I wonder, is that your desire this morning? Is that your desire? I ask you, brothers and sisters, would you, if that is your desire as dad and mom, if that's your desire as a couple, as grandparents, as uncle and aunts, as a church family, if that is your desire, I would ask you to stand to your feet. We want to just say, Lord, look down upon this congregation. If that is your desire, stand to your feet and say, Lord, young people, look at me. I want each one of you to look around. Look around. Look around. You're going to see dads and moms, uncles and aunts, sisters and brothers. You're going to see the church family standing in support for you. Because there's going to come no time when hard decisions are going to have to be made. And you're going to need to make them. You'll make the right ones or you'll make the wrong ones. When those decisions come, you got these people right here there for you. Because you'll need them. You need them. See, I'll be gone. But these guys will be here for you. Make sure you go to them and not somebody out there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, once again, as you look down upon us as your children, Father. Oh, Father, we are needy people. Father, we are sinful people, Father. Father, Lord, we so desperately want to walk with you and be the men and women, the husbands, the wives, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles, the aunts, Father, Lord, that you have called us in Scripture to be. Father, there are many young people here. There are many children here, Father, Lord. Such a blessing. Father, Lord, I want to commit each one to you afresh and anew again, regardless of their ages. Commit them to you, Lord, in the decisions of life that they will need to make. Some are too young to make decisions, but some are not. Father, Lord, we want to be sure that we have done our part. That as parents and grandparents, that we have led, guided, and directed them in the ways of righteousness. Father, Lord, we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to do that. And Lord, we want to pause just now and just rejoice in that. Just say, Father, we are so blessed. We are so blessed to be able to have the opportunity to lead and guide and direct children. Father, maybe in our own lives we didn't have that. Maybe we were an orphan, maybe we were a foster child, maybe whatever the situation was, maybe we had a dad and mom that didn't care about us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to change that. We have the opportunity to break that cycle, to break that chain, Lord. Help us to be the parents, the men, the women, Lord, that you want us to be, Father. Look down upon this congregation and you see us standing, Father, standing for truth, standing for righteousness. We have dedicated our children, near or far, we have dedicated them again back to you. Father, use them for your honor and your glory, Father, Lord. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory once again. In your holy name we pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you and be seated.